thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So our psalm today is Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And let me read this psalm. It's 22 verses. And I know it in the old NIV. Some of the verses here are some of my favorites in the Psalms. But I'm going to read it to you from the English Standard Version of the Bible. That's the version that we use in our pews and from the pulpit. And it's one of many good English translations. This is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all of God's people just had to say, amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, so much. What a powerful, encouraging, brilliant psalm this is. Help us to understand it. Help us to follow the Spirit's lead through the mind and the pen of King David as we recall, as we do not forget, as we remember all the good things you've done for us, that show how good you are. Lord, bring transformation, and in this transformation, bring glory to yourself. In your name, Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. So what story are you telling yourself right now? So the whole idea of self-talk, I remember when I first dealt with it, received it, you know, people would talk about self-talk and how what you need to do is change your self-talk and then you'll change your day or how your day is going. And it sounded kind of new agey to me, a little self-helpy, and I was a little skeptical. And it took me a while to realize that I was seeing something in one of the Psalms that I liked the most, Psalm 103. I worked on memorizing the first five verses in that old NIV version that doesn't say bless the Lord, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I didn't realize at first, it took me being in seminary to realize that I was memorizing and reciting, telling myself a psalm where the psalmist is telling himself, in other words, engaged in holy self-talk, telling himself how good God is, telling himself to understand this and to not forget. Because the word for soul in the Hebrew is the same word for self. Come on, self. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship God. Why? Because he's done all these great things. And this aha moment was coupled with another. And this was based on a teaching from a professor, and I'm going to sum it up, what he said to me. He said, no one talks to you more than you do. This conversation you have with yourself is ongoing and never ending. If you are awake, you are having an inside your head conversation about everything in your life. Everything. And in fact, this conversation assigns meaning to everything in your life. Your entire experience of life, of people, of God is 100% influenced and shaped by what you talk to yourself about. What you tell yourself. What you tell yourself about something or someone is your entire experience of that thing or person. In other words, it is not what happens to you that matters. It is what you say to yourself about what happens to you that matters. Now, this is the truth, and it can't be refuted. And it turns out that the Bible asserts it even more than counselors or coaches or psychologists. You know, in fact, many of Jesus' teachings, as I referenced earlier, were teaching points that had to do with what we tell ourselves about things. Don't just pray out loud, Matthew 6, but pray from your heart. Pray to the Father. Be inwardly aware of what you're doing. You're not just reciting words. Don't just give using the form. Go ahead and do that, but make sure when you're doing that, it's from the heart, and in fact, do it in such a way so that you know that your giving reflects how much you've been given, and you're humbled by it. Don't just fast by not eating food. Do that. Go ahead as much as you're able to, but remember the fast, the sacrifice of the things that matter more to God, the things that are more important. And this is all about what we tell ourselves. A Christian life is a Christian conversation we are having with ourselves in our heads and in our hearts, or it is nothing, or it is not. And so we credit David with being a great king, right? A great military leader, a great songwriter and poet, a great musician, but he was also a great student and teacher of human consciousness, of the life of the soul, of true, real spiritual experience. And this greatness comes through in so many of his psalms. He wrote most of them, a lion's share of them, as part of our 150 in the Bible. And here it is, the first verse of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So Scripture is giving us material to use in our conversation inside ourselves with ourselves. And by the way, the conversation that the Scriptures are initiating in us, it's different than the conversation we're normally having inside ourselves. And that anything that has to do with God is always different than what we're about without Him, than what we're experiencing without Him. And so this is the difference maker. It's where worship begins. Next door, you know, I program hymns for the 7:30 service. And so we programmed hymn number one in our hymnal, which we never use. But hymn number one is based on Psalm 103. And the hymn compiler, the compilers knew this. Like, that's where worship would start, by us telling ourselves, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then we sing together, pray together, study his word together, and fellowship in his name. It is not just Bible talk. It's not just church speak. I remember the first couple times I read this verse, it just kind of didn't seem like it was saying anything. And it took me a while to understand, wait a minute, this is very important. This is critical. And next, the psalm goes into why. Why would we bless the Lord, praise his name, worship him in spirit and truth? And it goes into recounting his benefits, the good things that he's done for us, starting in verse 2. And just look at this list. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, because that's what he redeemed your life from, in case you forgot, the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's why you feel so old, because your youth needs to be renewed like the eagles, amen? That amen echoes nicely in an empty church. It's not empty, of course, you're here, but there's fewer of you than usual. And yet, when we look at this list, there's something that stands out. Forgiveness, that's the first thing on the list. Of course, that makes sense. And then you have healing and redemption and being crowned with love and compassion. I love that. Like if Jesus is wearing the crown as the king in your life, then he's going to crown you with love and mercy, compassion, the things you need the most all the time. And he's going to satisfy you. Oh, I love that. Because nothing satisfies. Nothing in this world can satisfy. And there's no comparison between the satisfaction that God provides us in himself with who he is and what he does and any kind of satisfaction that we can try to provide ourselves in this world. There's really no comparison at all. And these words, this psalm, it's encouraging us, maybe exhorting us even, to stop asking God to change our circumstances and start asking God to change the story we're telling ourselves about our circumstances. He wants us to be involved in a new kind of self-talk, a new kind of holy self-talk, one that focuses on him. And the psalm continues in this way. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Full and gracious, all part of the story, David is telling himself. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Keep in mind, this is a king. Kings have everything, right? The things you want in life. If you were a king, well, you'd have all the money you want, all the power you want. You'd have all the respect you want, even if people don't respect you in their hearts. They better respect you in their actions because you're the king. And it's a king who's writing these words. It's a king who's saying that his satisfaction comes from only one place, and it's not from being the king. It's not from the result of being the king, the outcomes of being a king. It's from the real king. Jesus. And of course, the psalm points to Jesus because you're not going to get forgiveness. You're not going to get healing. You're not going to get redemption from anywhere else. So David is referring to his successor 14 generations or more on, and that is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has the DNA of David in him. Oh, it all ties together beautifully, doesn't it? And look at where these verses, so we're looking at verses 6 through 9 here on the screen, and it goes through the goodness of God in history and brings us right back to forgiveness, ground zero. Ground zero for the Christian faith is forgiveness of sins. That's the first need we all have, the first thing we are all to be reminded of. We're forgiven for our sins. He's done that for us. Now, the next verses are really famous for giving us a word picture of this forgiveness. And so as we feast our eyes on this, let's start telling ourselves new stories. Let's start telling ourselves the story that David is telling himself about God, about how his name is blessed, about his benefits, about his love and healing and redemption and satisfaction. And let's feast our eyes on these words. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Already, that's amazing. Really? Yes, really. We forget it. You've been a believer for 50, 60, 70 years. You forget it. Oh, you think this thing that happened is because of your sins, but it says here in his book, and David ought to know because David had some sins and he had some consequences from his sins. We know he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart because he believed this. He told himself this story. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. There's the picture. You don't have to go to seminary to figure that picture out. Everybody can know it, and yet everybody struggles to wrap a mind around that, to wrap his or her mind around it. As far as the east is from the west. So if I keep walking west, and I guess that's east over there. So I keep walking east, I'll never find the end to east, will I? Amen? Okay, you're one more. That was, amen? Sound like you're a lot more people. Amen? Yes. And if I keep walking west, I'll never find the end to west. There's no greater distance than as far as the east is from the west. And that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He's done it. We didn't do it. We're running the other direction. He's doing this great work of salvation in our lives. No one else either. It has to be Jesus. The psalm makes no sense. It doesn't work without Jesus. It is Jesus. That's what we're seeing here. That's what he does. And this is the thing that so many of us need to remember. We get anxious. We get discouraged because of our circumstances. And the Bible says, well, first of all, you ought to think about how good his goodness is, how wonderful his wonders are, what he's done for you in salvation, how far he's removed you from your sins and the consequences of your sins, the eternal consequences especially. But the Bible goes both directions on this. So first of all, we want to notice something before we see the other direction that the Bible goes. We want to notice the marriage between love and forgiveness. Just see it there. It's there in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So it's God's love that brought about forgiveness. And that's what you see here. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. And what comes from that love? Forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. You can't have love without forgiveness. Can't have forgiveness without love. They go together. And in the next verse, when God's going to highlight the other side of reality, he expresses this love and this forgiveness married in the word compassion. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God is so good, so much better than you know, and your circumstances are worse than you think they are. You think that it's your empty bank account? You think that it's that disease that the doctor is testing you for? You think that it's that boss at work? That's your big problem in life? No, the big problem in life is you're dust. Dust. And worse than that, in fact, let's look at worse than that. And just we're seeing the comparison between God's love and our situation. Next verses. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. You're dust or dead flowers. Pick which one you want to be without God. It's not that you might lose something. It's that you've already lost everything. Actually, you never had it, and you're never going to get it back. Everything. You're dust. You're a dead flower blown by the wind. And God knows it. Now, look at the difference His love makes. Wow, is it time for us to be telling ourselves a different story. I can't believe how many times I catch myself whining about my circumstances. I can't believe how impatient. I'll get impatient because an app loads slowly or something like that. Like, God, what is this? Really? We are just all, without His help, crazy. We really are. Because first of all, I think that this is a bad situation when all I've got is good. It's goodness all the time. And then I think, well, I've got some stuff here I'm trying to do. No, I got nothing. There's nothing I have that I'm going to keep, including my own body. He's going to have to reunite it with me and me with it. However He does that, at the end of time, He'll do it. I don't get to keep it. I don't have any power over any of that, over anything. And that's not a debilitating or incapacitating thought. That's actually where you need to go in order to feel and experience the power of God in your life. Because then God becomes God to you. And David, the king, the greatest of all kings, knew this. He knew it. He brings us now to back to love, but the steadfast love. You have dust, dead flowers, but it's so important. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It is not like the dust. In Him, you are the opposite of dust, the opposite of a dead flower, because the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. And when we tell ourselves this story, we can feel Him establishing His throne in our hearts. And that's the difference. Our self-talk becomes God worship. And it recruits even the angels to join us in blessing Him. The last verses show this. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word. I love that phrasing, who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works. That's us. In all places of His dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. That's actually Hebrew for praise the Lord. And that's where hallelujahs come from places like this psalm. How good He is. The great, great contrast. Now, with this bouncing around the walls of our sanctuary, bouncing around the walls inside our head, there's a question to ask, a question that the scriptures present, that King David presents here. And it's a question that we want to give permission to. We want to give this question permission to enter into and to survey every part of our lives, public, personal, private, secret, every part of who we are. And it's the question, it's the first sentence of my message this morning. It's this question right here. What story am I telling myself right now? And I've had this available to me for a long time, this question, and it has caught me so many times. Telling myself some story, I'll give you a couple of examples that I'm not proud of. One area of my life where I'll just engage in self-pity. Poor me. And I'll just naturally just come. It's like I'm an artist with self-pity. A Picasso with self-pity, right? I'll just put it together. Oh, I'll create a great case for poor me. And then the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit does. Interrupt. Ask Him to interrupt you. Say, Holy Spirit, interrupt me. Interrupt me. Interrupt my opinions. Interrupt my thinking. Interrupt the self-talk that I'm having. Replace it with what I read in the Bible, with holy self-talk. And it's amazing how it works. And this is beyond therapy. This is not therapy. This is transformation. This is transcendence. Because there I'll be in the same set of circumstances, and the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, will help me to see how blessed I really am. Here I am. My heart is still beating. I'm still breathing. I still get to drink too much coffee, which I enjoy. Amen? All right. Amen, my coffee. Thank you. I mean, all the many, many blessings, all the relationships, it's embarrassing sometimes. Praise God for that. I want to embarrass me more, Lord Jesus, on that count. And help me, because my worst enemy is not something in my circumstances, not some other person. It's my thinking. It's my thinking. How I think. And another example is how I think about other people. This is pretty common. We tend to think the worst of other people. Now, I know you're surprised to hear it, but sometimes it can be difficult to be a pastor. It's people. None of you, of course, because you came out here during the midst of this horrible snowstorm. It's not so horrible, is it? But anyway, you came, and nobody's wearing any Kansas City Chiefs apparel, and our Bills fans here are grateful for that. And of course, and the Kansas, yes, we'll pray for them. That made it onto the live stream too, so that's cool. Yeah, you know, I'll get tired of people. You know, I get peopled out. I'm not really that extroverted. I'm not, you know, I have a tough time at party-sized groups. I don't mind speaking in front of thousands of people, whatever, that's fine. Or one-on-one, that's fine. But I'll get anxious, you know, and feel out of place, you know, in a party-sized group. And I'll be suspicious. I'll read things the wrong way. And there comes the story I'm telling myself about somebody else. On and on and on. And God will interrupt that over and over. And then he'll provide these events in my life, like Night to Shine, that really interrupt that, that blow that up. I got to see some things. What was so beautiful about Night, there were so many things that were beautiful about it. One of the things that I didn't even know was happening is I don't know much of what happens around here sometimes, and I'm fine with that. But there's some great things. We got great people working here, great staffers. And one of the things that they did was that Goodwill has the best Night to Shine, right? So we open up our sign up early, and it gets filled right away, and then there's people on a waiting list. And there were people who didn't come last year because they couldn't, because they were on the waiting list and didn't make it. And so what they did this year was to say to anybody who was on the waiting list last year who signs up this year, they're put to the front of the line. And so as I watched our honored guests come in, they were joyful like they always are, but some were just especially joyful because they got to come. That was so sweet. It's amazing. And then seeing all the people from the community, I talked to each uniformed police officer that was here, each of them just enjoying being here. This is the highlight. And just loving what they're seeing, kind of amazed by what they're seeing, the EMT, the nurse. We had all these different people supporting all these businesses, restaurants bringing in food. You could just see the joy on people's faces. I saw the joy on the faces of those who served. And some of these faces I've been looking at for 30 years. And I know I've seen some other looks on these faces. I know some of the stories that other people don't know. And yet this night, I watched a face that might not have joy, a face that if I think of the name, I'll think, oh boy, and the litany of whatever the issues have been will come to mind, and that's the story I'm telling myself. It's nothing to do with that person. That's me. That's my soul problem, my heart problem. And God is working on me with that heart problem, that soul problem, helping me to tell myself a better story. A more scriptural, more biblical, more Christian story. And I get a lot of help sometimes at these events because there I was seeing some people and their faces. And this is what I saw more than once, several times on Friday night. I'd see the honored guests and the joy in the face of the honored guests. And then I'd see that person that I've known for 20, 30 years or 10 years or whatever. I've known. I know what's going on. I know this person. And I saw the same joy, the same amount of joy in that person's face. And there was the Holy Spirit clearing away the stories in my mind that I've been telling myself, just like the plows are clearing away the snow, getting the stuff out of the way. Oh, what story are you telling yourself right now? Is there something in your circumstance, something in your life where you're working on this story and it doesn't fit what we're reading here in Psalm 103? Ask God to help you with that. Ask God to help you start telling yourself new stories. The real story of what it is to be redeemed by Him, to be healed by Him, to be crowned by the one who wears the crown, to be crowned with His love and His compassion, to be satisfied, satisfied, renewed in that satisfaction. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. As we gathered here this morning, and it's really kind of a special morning, and a lot of us are at home watching online because we weren't able to make it out for one reason or another. Lord, you're ministering deeply to us, and you're helping us with the stories that we're telling ourselves, the self-talk. And we see it, there it is in the Bible. There, that's so important. When you say you want us to love you with all your heart, this is what you're talking about. So help us, Lord, and where there's something that needs to be cleared away, like the snow is being cleared away by plows, where there's something that needs to be cleared away in our lives, would you clear it away, Holy Spirit? Clear it away. Make room for your word. Make room for your light. Make room for your love. Make room for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Help us now to bless you, to really bless you. That's an amazing thing to consider, that we could bless you. All blessings come from you. None come from us. And yet we can say these words and sing a song like this in such a way where we are hoping with faith that you are pleased, that you are enjoying what you're hearing and seeing inside of us and in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.